Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Thank you for all of your tweets, all of your Facebook messages. So nice to hear from you and some of you actually letting me know what I missed out on. I didn't have any FOMO, though. I was good. I'm fine using this week to catch up. And there is some other catching up we have to do behind the scenes. We've got some social media stuff to do, like putting Joe Castiglione, Oklahoma athletic director, on our YouTube page. Producer Dave did his part of the job. I didn't do my part yet, but that'll be available because it was the same day as the first round of the NFL draft. And so I know it got lost a little bit, but we really appreciate Joe's honesty and his commitment to playing sports in the course of this last year, even though it meant, even more of the anxiety and the commitment, the determination, the leadership that he's always been known for. Not the anxiety part, but it was an anxiety-induced type of a situation where you wonder, are you making the right decision? How do we know for sure that this is going to work? And then having to accept the daily kind of feeling and stress that it may not work, and at any day, at any moment, everything could be shut down. But such a great conversation with Joe about what it's been like. And then he talked about various Sooners who are spread all over the NFL since it was draft day, and just some other fun stuff. We enjoyed talking to Joe, and he was very generous with his time and very candid. And so I wanted to get that up on our YouTube channel so it's preserved. And Dave did it while I was gone, but yeah, I didn't do any work. I thought I had big dreams about, oh, maybe I'll get this done. I've got time. I'll do this. Nope. I wanted nothing to do with any social media really while I was gone. Thus, the fact that I have not yet put up pictures on Facebook. I swear to you, I will. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line on Twitter, A-Law Radio. It's really good to catch up with you again. Absence does indeed make the heart grow fonder. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. I should clarify that. In a true relationship, one that is built to endure and last, absence makes the heart grow fonder. If it was just a relationship that was doomed from the start, well then, you might as well just be ghosted. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. I don't believe in ghosting. I think it's rude. And in the case of promises broken, it's a way that you very often can show that your word is worth absolutely nothing. So I do not ghost people, but I've been ghosted many times over the last 5 years. It's just, it's a product of our social media and electronic communication world that we live in, right? So I do not ascribe to it. But if you have ghosted the radio show now because I was gone for a week, well, then we never really had you sucked in to begin with. Do you like my ghosting analogy? All right, so back to the sports and things that I've missed and some more vacation tales coming up here in 15 minutes. Rory McIlroy won for the first time on the PGA Tour in 18 months. But you know what? Even making the cut was a major feat because he had not played the weekend in 2 months. So there's a lot going on with Rory. And he admitted, actually, that if this event had required him to have an early morning tee time on Thursday, he might not have been playing at all. So get this. He was feeling it. He was feeling some pain and almost had to pull out of the Wells Fargo in Charlotte altogether.
I didn't even think I was going to tee off in this tournament on Wednesday night. And then, you know, even if I had a morning tea time on Thursday, I probably would have pulled out because I hurt my neck on Wednesday afternoon and couldn't make a backswing.
He said his neck locked up, which it happens with athletes, but it happens with non-athletes too, right? You get that crick in your neck or kink in your neck. And sometimes it's about the way you sleep. That's happened with athletes before too. In hotel rooms, they sleep incorrectly or it's not a comfortable bed and they wake up with back issues or neck issues. And so he was able to compete because he had an afternoon tea time and was able to stay in the tournament, but then also was able to play into the weekend, which is, again, not something he's done over the past 2 months. He's actually not made a cut in 2 months. So this was huge for him. His second longest winless drought of his career. And he had his 8-month-old daughter there with him too, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, this place has been good to me. You know, ever since I first set eyes on this golf course, I loved it from the first time I played it. And, you know, that love has sort of been reciprocated.
3 times a winner at Wells Fargo. And his wife, Erica, was there along with their baby daughter, Poppy. Oh my gosh, she's so cute. But she was screaming bloody murder. Maybe it's because all of the people who were cheering, right, scared her half to death. Well, therein lies the other, I think, critical comment from Rory after his victory and the fact that he was bogey-free into the final hole, and this is more like the McIlroy that we had gotten used to when he was the number one player in the world. He was interviewed right on the course after his final hole, and he admitted that the fans returning to events and returning to the golf courses has been a major boost, but he also admits he didn't think that he needed them there. What?
It's just awesome to play in front of these people again. When we came back from the pandemic, I thought I'd enjoy the peace and quiet a little bit. And I soon realized that to bring the best out of myself, I need this. And I feed off the energy so much. And, maybe here more so than anywhere else, just because it's the first place I've won 3 times. So the crowd has just been awesome all week. And, you know, they really carried me through today.
He thought he'd enjoy the peace and quiet. What? You play practice rounds and you practice in relative quiet and peace most of the rest of the year. Why do you need it on the golf course? I think that's so odd what he had to say. But Dave, do you remember? Because I do not. I just recall that we heard from, it was an athlete, I think it was a pitcher, who had said that he didn't necessarily need to have fans in the stands. It wasn't Masahiro Tanaka, was it?
I'm pretty sure you're talking about Zach Greinke, where he talked about
Greinke,
he doesn't like being around the fans like that.
Okay, so maybe that was it. And he said he thought he could focus more at the ballpark because of the fact that there were no fans in the stands and he didn't have to do all the autograph, you know, signing and all that stuff pre-game. But that's not quite what McIlroy is saying, but honestly, those are the only two athletes I can remember who've admitted that they would maybe, or they thought they might prefer no fans at their events, which I think is crazy. First of all, even if you think that, you probably don't want to say it out loud. Now, to Rory's credit, he says he's wrong. He admits that I was flat out wrong. I need the energy. I need them here. They provide a boost. They provide a lift. I think that's what every athlete would tell you. And it's been underscored even more now that they've had to play through, whether it be a few months or in some cases still, there are empty arenas or largely empty arenas. But every single athlete to a man or woman that I have heard from as fans have returned have said, this is amazing. We are so thankful that these fans are here, even though it's 2,000, it's 3,000, 12,000 can feel like, 100,000 or 12,000 can feel like a packed stadium or a packed arena. And we got some of that, a taste of that in the NFL postseason going back to January or even late in the regular season where I think half the stadiums in the NFL were allowing fans in some capacity. The fact that those fans are so happy to be there means they're even more likely to put their oomph into it, to give it their all, to make sure that they've got the MVP chants going and that they're yelling most of the time, they're clapping, they're cheering, and the enthusiasm that they generate. We're not just talking about a corporate crowd that is there because the tickets were free or is there because it's part of some outing or some event. No, these are people that desperately want to be there. And considering what many Americans have gone through over the past year, I would say all Americans, but I mean, it's affected some people more than others. I think that the fact that we've got fans in the stands not only signifies this kind of return to normal, but then I think about the NFL draft and how amazing it was to see and hear the fans all right there around the stage in Cleveland. And I know that there is a controversy, because everything's a controversy. There was a controversy about, are you now going to segregate vaccinated versus unvaccinated? And I've even heard some coarse jokes about segregation and going back to, you know, to the age where our country was segregated, and now making jokes, again, coarse, I don't think they're funny, but making comparisons between segregation and what we're what we might be seeing now with vaccinations versus places where people who are not vaccinated cannot go, or where they have to stay and kind of use different facilities and that kind of stuff. So that is beyond the purview of the show. It's not really something that I care to talk about much, but there are enough people. There are millions and millions of people in the country who've been vaccinated, and there are even more, regardless of your choice about that. That's totally up to you. It's a personal choice. I have friends and family on both sides of it. There are even more millions and millions of Americans who want to get back to sporting events, regardless of their vaccine status. They want to get back and go and see events in person. But it's not just about cheering for their favorite teams. It's also about, again, returning to familiar rhythms. It's about, this signifies something, the beginning of something new, restarting that life that I enjoy, but also being with people. I have said it so many times over the past 15 months, my solo vacation notwithstanding, that's my 1 week of the year where I would desperately want to be solo. But the idea that you can be with people again, when I first went back to church, it was amazing to be in a sanctuary, even though it was at the time 25% capacity. Now it's more. But when I first went back to a restaurant, I remember the first time. Now, I'd been to restaurants, but the first time, and a lot of them were empty, the first time I went to a restaurant where every table was full. Now, they were spaced out a little bit, probably not the way that they should have been, but whatever, I didn't care. It was loud. It was a Saturday night. People were having fun. They were laughing. It was like, wow, this feels normal. And I know that when I get the chance to go to a sporting event again, it won't just be about covering it as a member of the media and doing my job, which I did go to a couple events where there were no fans during the pandemic, but it'll be about being with people and smiling at people. And can I tell you one of my favorite things about vacation in South Carolina, where in the majority of places masks are now optional? I barely wore a mask all week, and it's not about the mask. It's about seeing people's faces and how much fun I had smiling at people and talking to people and going into, there was this one particular vegetable stand and kind of a local market that I used multiple times during the week. Not only was he selling vegetables, but he was selling fresh fish. And I love to buy fresh fish that's been locally caught, never freeze it, just put it in the fridge for a couple of hours and then cook it. And so I did that multiple times last week. And it was so great just to talk to the guy and have a conversation. And he wasn't wearing a mask and I wasn't. And we were able to smile at each other and laugh. And it's just different. It's different to be around people when you can see their faces. And so I really enjoyed that. And I will enjoy it when I have a chance to go back. And I think that people should have the option. If you don't want to go, you don't have to. No one's forcing you to go to a sporting event or be in a crowd or attend a play or go out to eat. You don't have to. I have a cousin who, very strict, no restaurants, no going out, everything's virtual, her kids aren't in school. Okay, well, if that's how she feels, that's fine. But there are people who want to go out and who want to be around crowds, and it gives them joy and it gives them excitement, and it feels like, hey, there's something to look forward to. And that's what the NFL draft signified to me kind of a jumping off point, not just for football, but for what we may see in the NBA and NHL playoffs. But also when baseball gets a little further into the summer and we've got a couple of different teams that are planning for full capacity crowds at some point this season. And so good for you, Rory McIlroy, all that to say that Rory admits he was wrong and that he now knows the fans are lifeblood to sports. The fans are the energy. They're the electricity. They're the atmosphere. They are the adrenaline rush. I mean, without the fans, it's not the same. And I'm glad he has come to that recognition. And yes, congratulations on his first win in 18 months. Up next for him and for most of the golf world, the PGA Championship. And so hopefully that means he'll be a factor on the weekend. All right, coming up, we're going to hear from Zach Wilson. I was going to say Jets' new quarterback, which I guess technically he is, but he says he doesn't know if he's the starter. Well, here's my question. If not Zach, then who? Do they even have a veteran on the roster? Brian Hoyer is not starting next year for the Jets. That's not why Robert Saleh and Joe Douglas retained the number two pick, so they could start a veteran. Zach, you are starting next year, so get ready. And that's what the rookie mini camp is all about. So we'll hear from Zach. And also, I'm going to tell you about Grammy Helen on vacation. She wasn't on vacation, but I did talk to her on vacation. And my new favorite cowboy. Oh, I'll explain.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
With the second pick in the 2021 NFL Draft, the New York Jets select Zach Wilson, quarterback, BYU.
Hungry for a taste of the most delicious audio of the night? You came to the right place. It's time for Bite Me with Amy Lawrence. Here's Amy Lawrence.
Welcome to the big time, Zach Wilson. When Roger Goodell gives you that hug, oh, the commissioner was in his element. That was evident at the NFL draft as well in Cleveland. But there were a lot of Jets fans there, and Zach Wilson, a not surprising number two pick overall. The BYU product actually became the youngest starter in his school history at 19. So he does have a bit of a track record, some experience. But BYU and the New York Jets, couldn't be more opposite ends of the spectrum. So, yes, this is the big time, and Zach Wilson is now at his first ever NFL minicamp.
It was a lot of fun. It was fun to get back to playing ball and meeting some of the guys. I think just getting used to the differences from college and the NFL, you know, obviously learning all the new plays, getting used to throwing to different guys.
Well, those guys, of course, in some cases, not all cases, but they've been around. They've logged many more games. You wonder if they will treat him with skepticism, a rookie quarterback coming into a situation like this where they had Sam Darnold, and Sam had logged a few years there as well. And regardless of what you believe about Darnold, if the final chapter's been written about him or if he got a unfair shake in New York, the Jets were quick to discard him and move on. And now here comes Zach, fresh faced out of BYU. But he is going to be the quarterback. He is going to be the leader in the huddle. And he has reached, or he has heard from a bunch of veteran players who have reached out.
Yeah, they've actually all reached out to me, which is really cool. You know, it shows, you know, these guys care and, you know, they want to win and they want to do everything they can. So it's cool that those guys have already reached out. Football is really like learning a language. You know, you got to go in there, you got to work at it every single day to put the words together, be able to think of them quick and know what's going on. You know, similarities is the play action game. The inside zone, outside zone is something specific to the West Coast offense that we did at BYU.
I like how he points out the language and the terminology, because you may be talking about the exact same play, but you have to know it from the Jets terminology. And so every time there's a change at coach, Every time there's a change with the offensive coordinator, every time there's a change with a system or a playbook or the language, a different voice. I mean, it's all something new, whether you're rookie or not, when you change systems and change voices and all that change requires a lot of studying. And so it's good to know that he's got the leg up on it and will be able to kind of get immersed with the idea that he will be the starter, except he's not been told yet that he's the starter.
My focus is to learn the offense, keep getting better every single day, you know, do what I can with the guys around me. And I think the rest takes care of itself. You know, in this position, the coaches want to play the best player, and that position's got to be earned. You know, I got to go in there and I got to make sure I do what I'm supposed to do. And, you know, that'll take care of itself.
Yes, I agree with him. The position has to be earned. By the way, he is such a baby face. The position has to be earned, except there's no one else to play the position there. So I think you did your earning it at BYU. Now, not everybody may agree that that's enough of a training ground, enough of a proving ground, except the Jets have made it very clear. They didn't even keep Sam Darnold around as insurance, though they could have, because Darnold was still under his rookie deal. No, they decided that they were going to clear the deck for Zach Wilson, and so he is now the starter, whether or not we've seen it on paper. It is the same situation as it was with the draft. We didn't see it on paper that Zach Wilson was going to be the Jets selection, but everybody knew it. So I appreciate what he's saying. Yes, the coaches want the best player. They want the guy who gives them the best opportunity to win. But there is no one else, Zach. I don't think they want a running back taking snaps, and they certainly don't they certainly don't want you to have any competition. I mean, that's fair to say, right? The Jets didn't want any competition for Zach Wilson. Otherwise, they would have kept Sam Darnold. Now, they are expected to add a veteran, but that's only to train him in the ways of the Force. He will have a Jedi Master as a young Padawan. They've met with guys like Brian Hoyer and, well, Nick Mullins, actually, who did start a bunch of the games last year. In fact, logged more snaps even than Jimmy Garoppolo. That's another option, too. When you think about who they might bring in, be mindful of the ties that they have to Robert Saleh. And of course, Nick Mullins was in San Francisco at the same time as Saleh. This is kind of interesting. I've also heard that they potentially, now this is, I don't know that this is a report. It's more like a rumor, speculation, that they might make a trade with the Bears for Nick Foles and bring Foles in. Oh, you know how much fun it is for Nick Foles to be a backup, meaning the young guys who are there with him. But anyway, Zach Wilson's the starter, period. End of story, because there is nobody else. That one seems pretty easy. I know we love our quarterback controversies, but that one seems pretty cut and dried. They didn't even want Sam Darnold around for competition. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, Christopher sent me this tweet, which I forgot. He's right. Kirk Cousins once said that playing football without fans would be refreshing. That was the word he used. So we have the three different guys. Rory, who admits it after the fact. We have Zach Greinke, who we know doesn't enjoy the crowds and kind of the social experience of baseball, but that's part of who he is. That's one of his challenges as a human being, not just as a baseball fan. And yes, Christopher reminds us about Kirk Cousins.
You like that?
Oh my gosh. There's only a few of them. We can name them all in one hand because most athletes, A, wouldn't say it, and B, wouldn't even think it. Let's talk to Chris, who's listening in Queens. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Amy, how you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Big fan of your show.
Awesome, thank you.
I was talking about the Jets with Zach Wilson. You're right. You're absolutely right. He is the starter.
Yep. Even if they haven't told him yet.
I don't see no competition. Even if they bring in Nick Foles, he's just going to be a mentor to Zach Wilson.
Yeah, no matter who they bring in, it doesn't matter. It's the same thing with Trevor Lawrence. Even if Trevor is a little more heralded and more is known about Trevor and he's got a different college resume, more glittering college resume, it doesn't matter. Situation is the same. Trevor Lawrence is starting as long as he's healthy, and Zach Wilson is starting in New York as long as he's healthy. So 1 and 2, we know. Number three is where we don't know what's happening as much as the Niners keep saying that Garoppolo is their starter.
Absolutely. Like I said, let's see what Zach Wilson has, you know, put him out there.
Absolutely. You know? Well, number one, as you point out, there's no other choice. So that is what's going to happen. But I think it's also important to consider where the Jets are. This is not the Niners, who are a Super Bowl team. Can the Jets make a jump from worst to first in a division? Sure, it happens all the time. But they're coming off a season in which they only won two games. They had a brutal losing streak. I was so happy for them when they finally won. But they're not in a position where they're challenging for a Super Bowl unless something crazy happens, right? They're building from the ground up. So they had nothing. They're starting from nothing. And that's a good place for a young rookie quarterback, theoretically, as long as his coaches support him, as long as Robert Saleh is working on his confidence, as long as Saleh is encouraging him and they don't have expectations that are too high for him, nor do they allow him to have expectations that are too high for himself this early on, because the team likely isn't to be very good. But there's something to be said about bringing everybody in at the same time and starting at the same point. So Joe Douglas, Robert Saleh, I know Douglas has been there, what, a year? Year, 2 years, but this is his quarterback, right? And Zach Wilson and other guys that they're bringing in, because now they can all start from the same place, right? So they can all start from this place where they can work together and invest together to build something special and learn how to win in New York again.
They basically started from scratch. So
yeah,
as I say, Rome wasn't built in a day. So it's going to take time, you know?
How much time do you think, Chris?
Maybe 2 years, 1 or 2 years. Isn't that the Niners where they're built to win a Super Bowl, you know?
What? 2 years to win a Super Bowl, or 2 years to make the playoffs? Or 2 years to just be a contender?
Make the playoffs. I say make 2 years, make the playoffs.
All right. I like it. I like it, Chris. Yeah, I definitely think that this year is a year where they're supposed to learn and grow and kind of figure it out. But Saul is a good choice. I mean, I think he's a great teacher of men. He's also a great encourager. We know that. He's a huge cheerleader. He's intense, and he's coming from a place where they won, at least most recently with the Niners. So I think all of those factors make Saleh a great choice. I'm excited to see what he can do in New York.
And also the Jets had a great draft too. The players they had an awesome draft.
Okay. Well, when you have as many draft picks as the Jets have, there's a problem. That means your team generally did not do so well in the field. But you're right. They can help. So we'll see what happens. I do like what they did in the first round, for sure.
It's a start. Like I said, I want to see Zach Wilson out there before I do his thing, you know? I'm going to get his jersey, too, this and that, so.
Oh, good for you. I like it. Chris getting in on the ground level as well as a Jets fan. Cool, Chris. Good to talk to you.
You too, Amy. Love you.
Love you too. Bye. 855-212-4227. Producer Dave, are you as excited? Will you be running out to buy yourself and your young son? Is he two yet?
He is two, about two and a half now.
Oh, two and a half. Will you be running out to buy him a baby Zach Wilson jersey?
For him, yes. Myself, I'm not sold yet. But
how can you be? You haven't even seen one guy. One snap.
That's true.
In an actual game that counts.
I'm hoping for all things in the world that I'm wrong. But I like everything else that they did in the draft. So they're helping him as much as they possibly can. Offensive line, receivers, running backs.
O-line, yes. We don't need to get Zach Wilson killed the way that Joe Burrow got clobbered last year.
Well, hopefully he's not throwing the ball 68,000 times per game. I hope I'm wrong.
Did you see this storyline cracks me up? Or headline. I wouldn't even say it's a story. The headline that says the Giants, the other New York team, are ticked off. They're angry. They're so mad about the fact that the Eagles traded up to get Devontae Smith.
I mean,
but dude, so too bad, so sad. You snooze, you lose. Are they mad? No, they're mad at the Cowboys
for
allowing the Eagles to trade up and get him, or are they mad because they didn't do it? I mean, come on now. All's fair in love and football. All of it.
No, you're right about that. I'm sure, though, after the fact, they're probably upset that, one, it was in division, and two, it was the player they liked. And that's why after trading back, and it was a good trade, they turn around and draft the receiver.
Yes.
Who I don't think was the best receiver there at that point, but that's a different story for another day.
Well, they did need, let's be honest, they needed some weapons to put around Daniel Jones. But, I mean, you don't get to be mad about, well, you can, but I wouldn't make it public. too bad. You could have traded with Dallas too if you really wanted to move up.
Yeah, no, I don't feel bad for them, but I understand how they feel for sure.
Oh, huh. It sounds like a boo-hoo.
Yeah.
To me, like, seriously.
Get out of violin, you know.
Yeah. The world's tiniest violin, that as helps. A matter of fact. Yeah, I just thought that was, I don't know who said that or if that's just a story that's based on kind of insider or whatever, whatever. But come on. How is that even a thing? You could have moved up too. I'll never, ever, ever do that air on the air again because that was not attractive.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
I'm going to give it everything I have. You know, I worked as hard as I could for this moment. And there's not another team I'd want to play for besides the Jets. So I'm going to give it everything I have, and we're going to be a special team, baby. We're going for the Super Bowl.
It's a football feeding frenzy. After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
There's that confidence from Zach Wilson. But that's what you would expect from a young rookie who's really excited about getting in on the ground level and being part of something special. It's entirely a different thing to then walk the walk. So talk the talk all you want, but now the work is done. And so get to know it as quickly as you can. I hope he's a smart guy. I hope he recognizes that this is when a lot of the work will be done, when he's got the time. And so to press into the playbook and to getting to know his teammates and to throw in the ball, of course, because life comes at you fast in the NFL, especially when you're a highly drafted rookie quarterback. You know those defenders love to give you an education into what it's like to be a member of the big leagues and the big time. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227, 855-212-4CBS. I just saw this from Aaron on our Facebook page because I'm asking you, what did you miss? And he says, pretty much a whole week of speculation about Aaron Rodgers. Honestly, I'm done with it. It's clear he ain't talking. I mean, he talks. He just talks when he wants to. He talks to Jeopardy fans. He talks to Pat McAfee. Aaron's ticked, though. He's like, please, for the love, can we talk about something else? Well, he's clearly not listening to the show at this time because the whole thing makes me roll my eyes. And I haven't even mentioned the interview that Adam Schefter did last week at some point. Did Vince mention that at all? That Adam Schefter admits there wasn't one particular report or source or insider that said Aaron Rodgers wants out, excuse me, or as my grandma calls him, Arian Rodgers, that he wants out, that it was just a culmination. It was a cumulative effect. Did you hear this? So Adam Schefter did an interview, I believe it was with Dan Patrick, in which he said that there wasn't one particular report that led to him saying Aaron Rodgers wants out. It was a cumulative effect, and he just felt like it tipped over on draft day. That's some creative license. Now, Adam Schefter is great at what he does, but he did specifically say that it's a bunch of different information that he's collected over the course of the last year and a half, and it led him to making that claim on draft day. So he says there isn't one particular source. There wasn't, say, Aaron Rodgers telling him or his camp saying that he wanted out.
That is weird.
Yeah, it's kind of, that's another reason why I don't put as much stock in it. Do I think the relationship is beautiful and perfect? No. Has Aaron Rodgers made some cryptic comments about his general manager? Yes. But does that mean that Rodgers is going to sit out the entire season or the Packers are going to trade him? I don't know that it's coming to that. Apparently there hasn't been a specific report. So some creative license there. Again, Schefter's great at what he does. The NFL world is better with him in it, but that's not
something. I had doubt in the play call.
I had doubt in the play call as well. All right, let's talk to E. Frank, who's in Astoria, New York, wants to weigh in on the Jets and Zach Wilson. What do you think, sir?
Yeah, I actually believe that Zach Wilson is the right guy to be the quarterback for the Jets. He seems very enthusiastic. He's a fresh face into the team, and he has new ideas. But also, I'd just like to say this. You were elaborating on the fact that why did Sam Darnold get traded so fast? He had a contract. Everyone makes mistakes. What happened at the gridiron? I mean, you know,
I didn't say it quite like that. I just said that the Jets need to take some of the blame for the way that Sam Darnold played or didn't play. Now, he had mono. He was injured. Obviously, he was super young when he got there. He was still a teenager. But I don't think you can completely absolve the Jets and the situation that they were in and separate them from Sam Darnold. But I also believe that they were not wanting any competition for Zach Wilson. And so once they determined they were going to draft Zach, they were not keeping Darnold around, even though he's not costing them a ton of money. They didn't want any competition. They want the deck cleared for Zach, and so they got rid of Darnold.
Yeah, but I think that perhaps... Sam Darnold has a case when he says, I played for three seasons, I did what the head coaches told me to do, and I have plays on my wrist that indicated that I couldn't do any more than I could.
Sure. Yeah, I would agree with you on that. Sam is all those things you just said about Zach. He's enthusiastic. He's confident. He's fearless. He gave it everything he had when he was available and even times when he was banged up. The Jets were limited. Let's be honest, E. Frank. I mean, the Jets were not a winning team. They weren't built to win. The Adam Gase hire was an abject disaster, and it actually did damage to Sam Darnold. So I am anxious to see him in Charlotte. I'm anxious to see him with the Panthers, with a coach that will invest in him. And he's obviously the starter there now, too. Just the marriage with the Jets, I wouldn't say it was doomed from the start, because there were some bad decisions made along the way. And Sam certainly bears some responsibility, but it wasn't, I don't think, an accurate reflection of what he can be in the NFL, if that makes sense.
Okay, that's fair enough.
All right. Well, I'm glad you're excited about Zach. That's good. And I am too. I mean, I feel like with Robert Saleh, with some encouragement, I mean, they've got to invest time. What do I always tell you? In sports, constant change equals constant losing. And what do we see about the Jets the last few years? Change after change after change. General manager, coach, offensive coordinator, system, quarterback, personnel. I mean, change, change, change. It equals losing. And so it's not fair to completely evaluate Sam Darnold in a vacuum and say that the Jets and the place they were in didn't also have something to do with that. Now, Sam has an opportunity to prove himself and to prove that it was more the Jets than it was Sam. But that remains to be seen, right? We don't actually know. With Josh Rosen, we said the same exact thing. When he was drafted by Arizona, he was thrown into the fire far too early. Look what happened. Not only was his confidence completely bashed and smashed, but he never got another chance with them. They changed coaches. They got Kyler Murray, la, la, la. But then what happened? He goes to Miami, and he's not able to compete there either. Where the hell is he now? Sorry, where the heck is he now? He was on a team last year, but I don't remember where. And so there is a chance that we've seen the best of Sam Darnold and that we won't see a resurgent Sam. But I don't believe that. I do not believe that. I like his attitude and his confidence, and I love the way that he attacks football. And he also, I don't think that he has been damaged. Now, his game, it wasn't great in New York, but there were flashes. I do believe that he's emerged from that. I wouldn't say completely unscathed. He, you know, there was some damage done, I think, but he seems resilient to me. So I believe that he's got a great opportunity now with the Panthers. Let's talk to Thomas, who's listening in Atlanta. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Good morning to you. I want to first say that I missed you. I start my day every day with you because I'm a truck driver and I drive every morning. And I hear you every morning on my way to work.
Awesome.
And so we missed you. But I want to say that Sam Darnold had no chance in New York from day one. The organization was terrible, as well as the players and all that they got rid of and so on and so forth. So I felt like Sam Darnold never even had a chance to do anything as a rookie. And then I got a hypothetical for you to get off the phone and let you talk. Aaron Rodgers to Cleveland for Kareem Hunt, OBJ, and Njoku. I know Baker Mayfield will be mad, but we go to the Super Bowl this year.
Which part would he be mad about? Would he be mad about the Njoku? Would he be mad about OBJ? What would he be mad about?
He'd be mad about Aaron Rodgers coming in and taking his job. Because Of course.
I get what you're saying. It wouldn't even matter if Baker Mayfield was mad, right? Because if they trade for Aaron Rodgers, then, I mean, I think if you trade for Aaron Rodgers, don't you have to get rid of the quarterback?
Well, yes and no, because you're going to have an issue. You have another issue with Baker Mayfield and Love and Baker in Green Bay.
But okay.
It's a hypothetical.
It is.
But my thing is, we're real good at receiver right now. We got two real good running backs, plus we drafted a running back, and then we have several tight ends. Good ones.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. We're still talking about the Browns here, right?
Of course.
Yes,
of course.
Okay.
That would be good for both teams.
No, it wouldn't. The Packers, this is not a knock on Baker, but he's not Aaron Rodgers. The Packers will take a step down regardless if they end up changing. And if Matt LaFleur then has to get used to a new quarterback and Rodgers is gone, it's a step down regardless of who they bring in. Unless it's Patrick Mahomes, it's a step down. So it's not a win-win. If the Packers don't have Aaron Rodgers next year, it's not a win for them, period. But I like your creativity, Thomas. Thank you. Have a great day. Drive safely. 855-212-4227. Really quick before the top of the hour, because I think we're about to lose our New York audience. For those of you who don't know, our headquarters at CBS Sports Radio are in New York, and our local affiliate, WFAN, is just down the hall from us. Well, so those of you who listen to WFAN, you know the voice of Jerry Recco, who is the anchor, of course, is a very critical and vital part of the show, and very often is sitting in the host chair as well when either Boomer or Gio takes off. For those of you who are not in New York and don't care, sorry about this. Anyway, I walked out in the hallway. Jerry had a rough night. He was sleeping. My voice is echoing around the newsroom and loudly, the volume's turned up and Jerry is sleeping with his arms down on the desk. And I'm not sure what that says about my show, but you know, we do love it when people fall asleep on the phone. We actually get a kick out of it when we pick up the phone and they're snoring. So the fact that Jerry's out in the hallway, shoot, I should have put like a microphone next to him to catch him. I put him to sleep.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.